Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our show on the Coach Radio Network. We are talking about values tonight. What are they when we talk about values? How can you identify and define them for yourself? And how can you live according to your values, and what does that really mean? My name is Shiv Paul. I'm a life coach and consultant, and my co-hosts tonight are the very talented coaches David Diamond and Kathleen West. How are you doing tonight, guys?
Very well, Shiv.
Very well, thank you.
Good. So let's dive straight into it. You know, as coaches, one of the really important things that we try to get to with our clients, or that we have to get to with our clients, is what their values are. What are their real core values? And I think people out there will be interested to know, how do we do that? You know, how do we go about, even just individually, defining and identifying what our values really are?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, to just define what we think values, what does that word really mean? And to me, values are those things that are so deeply important to us that that we always feel like those are things that we have to do, we have to be, we have to. They're so important that they're beyond goals, they're beyond what you want at the moment, but they're something that's really deep in, and they don't tend to change much once you're an adult. Your values really stay the same, and your goals can change, other things change, but I find the core deep values that we hold, that are the things that are so deeply important to us, they don't tend to change. So we're looking for those things that are a part of who you are, that make you who you are. And if we can identify what those values are for a person, or help them identify them for themselves, then we can start to look at, okay, how can I craft my life around those ideas instead of doing things for other reasons, like because that's what my parents said I should do, or that's what my teacher said I should do, or that's what my friends said I should do, but start to look within ourselves for the guidance that we need.
Right, because as young kids, we are all given a foundation by our guardians or our parents. So they build it, but it's the role as the young adult or the adult to really take a look at what is so important to them and what they know that they won't really compromise on. Is it loyalty? Is it, achievement, or, fairness, or their faith, So these are all part of the values that we are molded into us, but it's our choice as an individual to decide which ones are really important.
Yeah. I love what you were both saying, actually, like in David, when I hear you saying that, our core values inherently don't really change. So, the implication being that if you go back to childhood, for example, and you think about the things that were really important to you, that's a good starting point to really define and remember actually what your values really are. And to your point, Kathleen, I think, especially for young adults as well, it's sort of wrestling with what is a value. Understanding whether that's it really makes sense to call something a value. Those are two very important things, because if I think about an example of one client that I'm working with right now, who was talking about wanting to engage in particular kinds of activities in her life which she has let go. She often says, when I was a child, I used to do this all the time and nobody had to tell me to do it, and it was really fun and I just really enjoyed it. And I was like, well, you have a very strong value of fun, of wanting to have fun in your life. And I think quite often what we term as values, and they are values, people don't actually recognize as such. Like, people might not recognize that fun and wanting to have more fun in your life is a very valid value.
Totally. I totally agree with you, because we're not given a list of values or what values are as we're growing up and in our informative years. So when we become adults, we're like, well, what is it really? And that's what we ask our clients, because it's so important that you recognize what your deep core values are. Because once you do recognize that, you discover more about yourself and what you're willing to do and not do, and then what is most important. And you can mold your life around that and have what you want and live the life you actually want, instead of just going on autopilot constantly.
Absolutely. I was thinking that in terms of defining these things, helping people understand them, and for anyone out there who's listening right now who maybe isn't familiar with coaching or life coaching, really what we endeavor to do as coaches is facilitate a process for our clients, so the clients have all the answers. And sometimes coaching can be advisory, but we're not mentors. You know, I think of a mentor as somebody who has a particular skill or expertise in an area, and you're basically teaching and advising somebody how to become proficient in that area themselves. Whereas coaches are there to facilitate that process and to help clients really understand what resonates with them, you know, where is the dissonance, how can they self-manage better, you know, manage all the little gremlins that tell us not to do things and things like that. So for anyone who's not familiar exactly with life coaching, that's a very brief summary of that. But as coaches, I'm interested to know how you guys get clients at that starting point to really identify what their values are. I have some exercises, I'm sure you guys do as well. Could be interesting to share those with anyone out there who's listening.
Great. Well, would one of you guys like to play with me a little bit, and I'll take you through one of the exercises?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you could both think about this question, but Kathleen, maybe you and I can play back and forth a little bit. The question I like to usually start off with, or pretty close to the beginning, working with somebody, is this question. Imagine that you're at the very end of your life and you've lived a very happy, very fulfilled life, and you can say at that point, looking back, I know I've lived a satisfying and a fulfilling life because I've been able to blank. How would you fill in the blank for yourself? I know I've lived a satisfying and a fulfilling life because I've been able to, what?
I think for me, I've lived a satisfying life because I give of myself, and it makes me feel good in my soul. It does. If I can assist or help someone achieve their goals or discover more, or just to lend a helping hand when one is needed, that makes me feel good. It just really, really makes me glow inside.
So why do you think what do you think it is about helping people to achieve or discover more? Why do you think that that's really important for you?
It's important because I do it selflessly. You know, it's like, if, for example, if you're the car in front of me and your car dies, okay, and you get out of the car and you're trying to push it off to the side of the road, I wouldn't think twice, and I have done this before, to get out of the car and help you push it. Not because, you know, it's expected of me, but because it's something that I want to do. You need a hand. Just to give it where no thanks or anything is needed. For me, that makes me feel good. And for me, you know, that would, you know, be fulfilling. I could look back on that and be proud of it.
That's great. Really, that's really terrific. Could you describe a little bit? You talk about the good feeling that you get when you help somebody with the car and or whatever it is. Could you just describe that feeling a little bit more?
Yeah, it's like I have three children, and they all they live home, but they work. You know, so one Christmas day, one of my kids had to work. And the whole family was here, which is nice. You know, everybody's here. And my one son came through the door about 2 hours early than expected because we thought he was going to miss the whole Christmas dinner. And just to have him walk through that door and be so surprised and be like, you know, and now just all your kids are under one roof and everybody's together. You know that feeling that I'm describing. It just fills you up inside with such joy and such, you know, happiness to have them all around that it's just, I get the same feeling when I can help just to help. It just makes you feel good, you know, makes you glow.
You know, name the value that you're describing as and put it in the form of an active verb to something. Is to help the best word, or is there a more descriptive verb that might describe that value?
Well, you don't want to call it this. Well, it is assisting, you know, but it's not.
I think if I
call it?
Well, I think just observing, that was great, by the way, and I love that question. It's not one that I use. I use a twist on that, which I'll talk about in a moment, but I may start using yours, David, from now on. But what I heard was that you know, I would say that you have a very strong value of wanting to be helpful. I think that's a value. I mean, I also heard generosity there, appreciation, commitment, you know, love when you were talking about your family. You know, I think a lot of those kinds of things were coming out strong. Even I'd say a sense of justice. That's certainly what I heard during the course of that exercise.
And a real sense of joy. And I think that's, you know, that's important to allow ourselves. I think a lot of times we don't allow ourselves to feel joy, and it's great that you can you see what it is that brings you that feeling. Because when you were describing your family coming together, I could feel it even through the airwaves. You know what you were talking about, and the film.
Oh, I was so excited that day to see him. I got up from the chair and I ran to the front door. I'm like, you're home, and I gave him a big hug and a kiss because it was just, it was like a surprise. It was like you had a child that was flying in from or coming in from out of town, and no one knew, and they walked through that door, and you have that moment of just elation, you know. So it's a good feeling, and I wish that feeling for everyone. I really do, you know. It's something to experience.
Great, fantastic.
I love that, and thank you for doing that, guys. I thought that was great, and like I say, I liked that question of getting people to be really thoughtful. You know, it's a good question to get people to be thoughtful about what's really important in their life. You know, I use a little twist on that. Often, even when I'm interviewing people for job roles and things like that, quite often the last question I will ask them is, if you had one day left on the earth and you could do absolutely anything you wanted, you know, money was no issue, et cetera, how would you spend that day? From the first thing in the morning when you got up to the last thing at night, what would you do? And it obviously serves the same purpose. I mean, it provides some quite insightful answers to what people really hold very, very dear to themselves.
That's really interesting. Because I do a similar, another similar exercise that I take people through, maybe other coaches do this too, a guided imagery exercise where I called Perfect Day, where they go through this, like the perfect, absolutely most perfect day in their whole life, and they take them through waking up in the morning, what do you see, what are the colors, what does the room look like, what is your view, to what are you eating for breakfast, to what is your activity in the morning, and what are you doing during the day. And, you know, I take them through the entire day over the course of about 20 or 30 minutes and have them, their eyes closed, just let the images come through their mind and not censoring what comes. And it's been fascinating because it really does let people see the things that are really important to them.
Absolutely.
I do something similar, yes. Like, what is your perfect day? And to describe it to a T, you know?
Yeah.
And then I also give them a list of values and ask them to choose their top 10 and prioritize it. But then explain why. Why are these 10 so important to you? You know, and rate them. You know, I do ask my clients to do that. It gives you some more insight on what they're thinking and how they feel and you know, pretty much where they're coming from. So it's very interesting to see, you know, which ones they pick.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's a great way to drill down even further. It seems very simple, but simply asking why, you know, poking people with the why stick is actually a very powerful way to really drill and filter down into what's behind all of those things that people are coming up with. I have to say, I love those kinds of questions, and I use them not only in coaching, but in my consulting work if I'm hiring people for job roles. And part of the reason I do it is because I want to see, especially if I'm hiring somebody to work within my team, I want to see what the dynamic of that person is like. You know, how are they going to interact with the rest of the team and, you know, gel with them. And asking those kinds of questions allows you to find out whether, you know, you have your values aligned. If anyone out there is listening to us, we are talking about values. The show is called Value Add. It's all about living your values. What does that mean? How do you identify them? And how can you live according to them? We'd love to hear from you. You can get us on 646-716-9397. My name is Shiv. I'm here with David and Kathleen. And I want to pose something to you guys, and it's something that you mentioned, David, when going through the course of that exercise, is you picked up on being joyful, and you felt a very strong sense of value from Kathleen of joy and being joyful. And you said something which I think is very interesting and pertinent, that we don't often allow ourselves to feel joy. So why is that, do you think? I mean, often when people go through these exercises with us, they will come up with things like fun and enjoyment and being joyful and, you know, all of those really good fuzzy feelings that we have related to family or experiences and things like that. But I think you're spot on that often we don't allow ourselves to indulge in those things. And it's a little bit like my client who at this stage of her life is sort of harping on about how it was really fun when she did it as a kid, but she seems to have lost that element of fun. Why do you think that is, that we deny ourselves those things?
Well, Kathleen, do you want to jump in or should I take it? I have a couple of theories, but...
I want to hear what you have to say, Dave.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of times we get caught up in our thinking about our goals and the things that we want to achieve and accomplish. I have a lot of clients, my whole practice is basically working with creative people, with artists, and a lot of times they'll say to me, well, I'll take time off to enjoy myself after I've achieved X, Y, or Z. So they spend a lot of very focused time. I'm going to get to the next level of my career. I'm going to get that next you know, that play or that film or that TV series, and then I'll be able to enjoy myself, or I'll make a certain amount of money, and then I'll be able to enjoy myself. And they're sort of putting off what they think is the unessential part, which is the joyful part, and they feel that the important part is the actual achievement itself. When, in my view, that's exactly the opposite of what's really important. And if you don't experience the joy along the way, then when you ever get to that achievement, if you hopefully get there, then you won't even know how to have the joy or how to get it, because everything takes not necessarily practice, but takes doing it and experiencing it and allowing yourself to have the full experience of life all along the way. You can't just, like, put things off in a corner and expect them to be there when you finally feel like, oh, yeah, I finally deserve to have joy because I've done X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. I think we deserve to have joy every single day of our lives.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And it's interesting you saying that. Essentially, one of the things I heard you saying is that people don't know how to enjoy success. And I think it's very true that, you know, I've certainly had many clients in the past, and I'm sure you guys have had as well, that actually clients don't know how to enjoy success. And there's a certain fear there of allowing themselves to take a moment and recognize and appreciate actually what they've done and really have a good time with it, really, you know, really enjoy it.
Absolutely.
I think some people don't recognize, like you were saying, Chip, they don't recognize it. They, you know, they're not sure what actual joy is. You know, they can't put a definition to it or a feeling to it, or they don't recognize the feeling when they have it. They think, oh, yeah, it's fun and I had a really great time. But while you were having it, how was it making you feel? You know, what were you feeling inside? Were you relaxed? Were you really in the moment and enjoying the company you were with? And, you know, and they might just label it as, yes, I had a great time and I had some fun, but they don't realize that there was joy within that moment.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great point. And what I really pick up from that is, you know, there's a lot of, I think people tend to think that there's a huge amount of structure and seriousness about things like trying to identify your values, which doesn't necessarily need to be the case or is necessarily the case. And I think people often get very hung up on the intellectualizing of these things rather than actually just sort of dive in and realize that the kinds of things that they're feeling already speak to the values that they have. So I know, Kathleen, you and I had chatted a little bit about this the other week when we were talking about our path to coaching and when we started training as coaches and getting certified and things like that. And I think we both had a similar experience, and David, maybe this is the same for you. I think it's very common for a lot of coaches when they start to train as coaches and to put structure around the skills that are required when you do coaching, we sort of immediately realize, oh, actually, I've been doing this my whole life. You know, I didn't call it coaching. I didn't realize that that's what it was, but I've been doing this already for several years or more. Did you guys feel that when you embarked on the coaching journey?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was running the Stage Directors and Choreographers Foundation for a number of years, people would come into my office all the time asking me, oh, I don't know what to do with my career, what to do with my life, I'm stuck, I can't get past this or that, and I'd try to help them through. And I think what coaching training allowed me to do was to put it in a kind of context where I could learn about ways to be helpful that by just asking, you know, different kinds of questions than I had thought of before, or taking people through different kinds of exercises that I hadn't thought of, but then I felt much more capable of responding to all these, you know, because it would happen, you know, every day.
Right, 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 yeah.
people complaining about their lives, and I and me, you know, my instinct, like Kathleen's, is, you know, I want to help. What can I do to help? But I didn't realize, I think, until coach training, that helping and what you think is helping and giving advice and things like that is not always the most helpful. The real, what could be more helpful is to what Shiv, you were talking about at the beginning, about allowing people to see things in a different way so that they can help themselves sensibly.
Right. Yeah, I love that. Just, you know, directing people to a different angle or a different view of what they already know. Sorry, Kathleen, you were going to say something?
Well, I agree. And there's two different kinds of help. You know, there's help when somebody is in need to, you know, push a car or, you know, help with dinner. That's one thing. But when the situation comes where you know that this person needs more assistance, I call it. I don't call it help. I call it assistance. Because I'm not taking you by the hand and doing it with you side by side, you know, and working, you know, actually physically working with you through it. I'm more assisting you by asking you these questions, because when we coach, the agenda is always the client, always. Our agenda, our thoughts, they don't come into it. It is always the client's journey. It's their path to take. And we assist them by asking these important questions and putting them through, you know, visionary experiences or whatever tools we use. So, you know, as a mother and with young adults, you know, it was always of, well, what can you do to see through this, or what can you do to move forward, you know, or what could you do better next time, you know. Those were always the questions I asked the kids, you know, when they came into a situation that they weren't sure which way to go, you know. And I think we ask the same of our clients, and that's why, Shiv, when we were talking the other night, and I was saying, I've done this for years. Well, I have.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that, you know, you could finally put a title onto it. Not that I'm huge on titles, but I could finally put a title or a label on what I've been doing all these years. And I think that might be a lot for a lot of us.
Yeah, agreed. So for our hundreds of listeners out there, no doubt, Kathleen, David and I are talking about values and how to define them and live according to them. We'd love to hear from you. You can get us on 646-716-9397. Call in and share your experiences, or maybe even get some coaching for a few minutes with one of us about your values and what that really means to you. So we talked a little bit about how to define those, you know, I think with some great questions, and certainly some things I picked up on from here that I'm going to use with my clients going forward. But what's the next stage of that? Like, how do we get clients to implement that? So say we have a client who has a strong sense of fun and joy, but has a very limited amount of that in their life right now. How would we actually take them to the next step of introducing more of that into their life?
I think, you know, in using the example, Kathleen's example, when we were talking just a few minutes ago about her strong value around helping and assisting when people are in trouble or when they need that kind of assistance, I think my further questions would be around, if that's indeed a deep value for you, how are you living that value every day? Like, what are you doing every day to live that value out? And how can you, if you're not doing enough to really express that value, what can you shift or change in your life in even a smallest way that would just give you a little bit more of that sense that, oh yeah, I'm assisting more now than I was. I'm going to do something just a little bit differently and start to shift and change a little bit how I relate in the world so that I'm really expressing that value of helping more than I have been so far.
That's good.
Yeah, I love that. Kathleen, what about you?
Well, for me, I would ask what is a way that we might be able to fit more of that within your daily structure? You know, we know everybody is busy. You know, we work ungodly amount of hours at work and or out of the house. And when you finally get home, you're rushing around to get dinner done or homework if you have children or just maybe even continuing working once you get home. And you don't take that time for yourself to really sit back and relax and doing something that you really just totally enjoy. Whether it's just reading a chapter in a book or watching a half an hour TV show or just going for a walk around the corner. It's the little things that we don't take notice of. Because we move so quickly through the day, and it's those little things, whether it be a song that comes on the radio that you used to love when you were growing up, you know what I'm saying? And it just gives you that feeling of, oh my gosh, I used to love that song, you know, or just, you know, an unexpected phone call, you know, from a friend or to a friend to say, hey, you know, I was wondering how you are, I'm catching up. It's those little things that I don't think that we really recognize anymore that give us that feeling of joy and fun.
Yeah, I love what you guys are saying. I think, you know, I picked up on two things in particular that came out for me. One being, you know, the importance of being mindful and being present and, you know, really enjoying the experience that's in front of your face, right? You know, sometimes we don't and, you know, we all know that we take things for granted, but it is a practice to actually get back to being present and to enjoying the simple things in life. I think the other thing that really came through for me was around you know, limiting yourself in terms of enjoying these kinds of things. So in terms of the implementation, you know, having these baby steps to introduce more of these assets into your life. But I think one really important part of that is sometimes that means letting go of something that isn't serving you in your life. And, you know, we all have it. But that can also be a hard thing to wrestle with as well, like, you know, identifying or knowing that there's a certain activity or friendship or relationship or something in your life which is taking up your energy and time, but which doesn't actually serve you. Sometimes making room for the things that are really important and do serve you much better means letting go of something existing.
I mean, one way to approach that with a client, I think, is to once you've identified not just one but several of the things that they value and that they're really deep for them, talk about the things that are going on in their life as matching up against those values. So in other words, oh, I have a strong value toward assisting, toward leading, toward inspiring, toward creating. And I look at the things that I'm doing in my life, the things that are taking the time of my day, and I ask either what things are really in alignment with those values and what things are antithetical to those values, or what things could be put more in alignment with them, or what things need to be jettisoned, like you were talking about, just, you know, stop doing them or, you know, kind of try to eliminate them from your life in some way. But I think the more we can look at what we're doing and what we're pursuing in relationship to what we've identified as our values, then we can begin to see, oh yeah, this is taking me off course, not on course. This isn't really something that's deeply important to me. I'm doing it for some other reason. And we can go into at length about what those other reasons are, but I don't even think it's that important. The more important question is, oh, I want to get more in line with what are my values. So what can I do to do that? Do I get rid of this thing, or do I adjust my attitude toward it, or whatever?
That's a great point, David, because, you know, what you're speaking to and leading towards actually is actually the next stage beyond implementation, right? It's sustainability. You know, how do you keep this going? Like, okay, you know what your values are, you know what's important to you, you figured out some ways to fit more of that into your life, but how do you keep it going? And I know, you know, even myself from my own experience and, you know, with my clients as well, you know, it's quite easy to fall off the wagon, you know, and that comes with a certain amount of guilt and fear and things like that. But one thing that I like to ask myself even, or ask my clients, if they, in order to help them manage that and manage the sustainability, is to get them to ask themselves, what do you lose by not engaging in this? What do you lose by not having this particular value in your life? And I think things like that, little tips and tricks, can help people make better decisions, you know, and react to things in healthier ways and make healthier choices.
Can you give an example of somebody you worked with or yourself where that's been helpful?
Yeah, I think so. I work with a lot of clients who are mostly in a stage of transition around their career. They usually want to change career, move into something new, or they don't know what they want to move into. And invariably, the underlying common theme with all of them is wanting to have more balance in their life, actually. They're usually in, you know, sort of high-stress jobs where they're working a lot and they just don't have the other components that need a balanced life. So, for example, let's take health as a key component of people's lives. You know, health and exercise, that's related to fun and things like that as well. I find that, you know, a lot of clients might approach that with the idea that they have this value of being healthy and, you know, being a fit individual, and they get really gung-ho about it. And, you know, they might go out and have a few drinks one night with their friends, or, you know, have a fried chicken dinner or something, and then feel really, really guilty about it, and then sort of re-question the fact that, you know, are they serious about this? That, you know, are they really committed? And actually what they're doing is questioning all of their values and things about it. But, you know, that's okay. Like, we're all human. We, you know, we all, we don't follow a straight line through life the whole time. That's part of the human experience. But I think with a lot of my clients, what I will get them to do is, it goes back a little bit to what we were talking about before, to really understand the goal and the added value that they get from that, to really understand what's behind that, I think helps motivate them more and really understand more why they're doing it in the first place and what they're getting out of it. So a client might say to me that they want to be really healthy because they want to lose weight. And actually, it's not really about them losing weight so they can get into their clothes. What really comes out is they want to lead a healthy lifestyle. They want to feel more energized. You know, they want to be able to manage their lives better and have better experiences with people. And the reason that they're not having all of those things is because they're sleep deprived, or, you know, they just always feel de-energized, or they're always working and things like that. So does that answer your question, sort of how to kind of keep people a little bit on track, but also to get them to appreciate even the little things that they're doing, rather than beating themselves up for not going 200% into living according to their values?
Yeah, I mean, whenever I find myself going into that kind of negative spiral of thought, of, you know, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, it's not going to work out, and, you know, that sometimes I admit I get into, as a lot of people do, I have to sort of remind myself, oh, what's really important here is not, it's, is it really important what those other people are thinking about me or what I imagine other people are thinking about me, or is it really important that I'm doing something positive in the world, and why don't I just get back to that and start to refocus? And I find that, you know, an understanding, I guess, that it's all thought that's getting in my own thought is what's getting in my way, not anything that's real.
That's your gremlin talking.
Yeah, that's right. My gremlin is alive and well, although I, once you understand what he is and what he's there for, it's easier to, you know, kind of quiet him down temporarily.
Isn't it? And once you recognize it for what it is. Yeah, but your gremlin is also can be very helpful too. You know, but we just need to recognize what it's saying to us. You know, if it's stopping you from living your life and enjoying the experience, then it's not really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone out there,
you also have to be okay to be all right with, you know, we can take 3 steps forward, but sometimes we do backtrack, you know, and fall behind, you know, for whatever reason it is. And we have to be forgiving of ourselves and say it's okay because, you know what, I have another choice to make. You know, every second of every day you have a choice. So let's say you had that Big Mac for lunch and you were trying to lose the, you know, some weight. You have to be forgiving and say, you know what, that's okay because my next meal I'm going to be more focused on what I want and I'm going to eat more healthier. So you should always pick yourself up and restart again. It's fine. And that's normal.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think just sort of, you know, managing yourself and your expectations is key to sustainable change. And
that's
for anyone out there who is listening in on our show, we were just talking about gremlins, and as coaches, in case you're not familiar, gremlins or saboteurs, as we sometimes call them, are the little devils who sit on our shoulders and often try to convince us not to do things for a variety of reasons. And Kathleen, you brought up a great point because, and David, you hit on this as well, really understanding what your gremlin or saboteur is there for. You know, sometimes it's important to understand that they're there to protect us in a way. But building on your point, Kathleen, you know, it's all about choices. You know, we have a choice every second of the day to make, and recognizing what we're doing and being aware and being more present helps us to make healthier choices that are right for us or better for us. I think that's part of the key for, as I say, sustainable change.
Right, and to be forgiving when you mess up. It's okay to mess up. It's a learning experience. And people, they beat themselves. You know, they're like, oh, man, you know, I screwed up again. I shouldn't have done that. You know, I was going to have that salad. Why not? You know, or whatever. And it's okay. You have to know it's okay. You know, because, and learn from it. Recognize what you did. Know the reason you made that choice, be okay with it, and then take the next step. Because you learn, there's something to learn from everything that you do, everything.
And it always can be scary to do things that you haven't done before, to go places that you haven't been before. The gremlin's always telling you not to because, you know, they want to keep you safe. It wants to keep you safe, like you were talking about. But sometimes we'll actually say to a client, okay, you're going to try this new behavior. You've decided that you want to try this new behavior and test it out and see how it goes. And then I might say to them, and you're not allowed to feel bad about yourself if it doesn't work out.
that one. That's great. I love that.
Just not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to go to that place. And then they kind of like relax and go, oh, okay, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I can try something, and if it doesn't work, if it doesn't happen, then I'll just go on and try something else. But I won't allow myself to go to the place negative to really just feel bad about myself because I couldn't do what I thought I wanted to do, or I couldn't do it at this moment, or in the way that I wanted at that moment, because things will change in the next moment.
That's right. To not be defeated, you know.
Do you guys find?
Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm jumping in. You finish, Kathleen, and then I'll ask.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, do you guys find that when you give your clients permission to fail, that they always embrace that straight away?
I think it's hard for them to do that.
Yeah.
But
I think that's what I find too.
I try to point them toward the idea of failure as, I try not to even use that word. I think the language is important as well, but I guess I point them to the fact that it's their own thinking about what's going on. It's not the circumstances that they're in that's really affecting them. So it's, you know, we tend to amplify everything that's negative that goes on and take it on as, I think, much harsher than the reality is about it, and but it's all because of our own thinking about it and not because what's really happening. And I think that when people start to see how much their own thinking about things is getting in their way, it can be instructive or enlightening.
Oh, totally, because we are and we can be our own worst enemy. I mean, we will beat ourselves up and be so critical of ourselves before anybody else's, and we think that other people might be, you know, looking at you and criticizing you behind, you know, underneath their hands. But the thing is that we do it more so ourselves than anybody else, because we're just so critical on ourselves. You know, and we need to lighten up people, you know, I need to lighten up, you know, so that, you know, I can move forward, you know, and realize that I have another chance. So, you know, just move ahead. It's harder than it sounds, but it can be done.
I had asked this question that I asked you guys today about, you know, end of your life, looking back, what I could say my life was satisfying and fulfilling. I asked a student of mine recently, and she said, I'd live a satisfying and fulfilling life if I was able to let go. It's kind of like we were just talking about, Kathleen, letting go of everything that's not useful and helpful toward moving forward, just letting things go and not holding on. And it was very interesting that even at the beginning of a process with these students that she was so aware already that was a key thing. And it was
time
somebody actually put it that way in the context of one of these exercises, and I thought that was so smart.
That is the one thing that I loved about the first time that I went to IPAC, you know, for getting my certification, was that you don't realize until you have to pull it out of yourself. Everybody has self-doubt. And until you walk around with a necklace on that says, you know, I'm self-conscious, or I'm not good enough, or I am too critical, or whatever, of yourself, and you walk around and you realize that all these other people, and they could be college graduates with master degrees or CEOs of companies and presidents and you know, to the cashier, you know, or the nurse, and everybody has something. But we don't see people that way. We see people as somebody being prettier than us or smarter than us or whatever, but they all have the same fears and the same doubts. And it was so relieving, you know, as being a mom, a stay-at-home mom for 18 years, and then, you know, I finally went back to work, but then to step into this classroom, which really, I'm going to tell you, took a lot of pep talking for myself to get myself through that door the first time. But once I realized that I'm not alone, I just felt so much better about myself. So much better.
That's great.
You know, so, and by doing so, then you can recognize, you know, you know, and then asking what your values are, you know, and as you're going through that list, you start to recognize more within yourself. You know, you're a good listener, you're compassionate, you have this, you do this, you know. And then, so there's so much to learn about each other and yourself personally, and it's such a great experience. Everybody should go through it. And that as coaches, we help our clients find.
I really like what you were saying before, Catherine, about, you know, talking about making choices and things like that. And that's something that I often use with my clients, especially when they're stuck in fear, that in order to reclaim their power and to feel a bit more empowered, life is just a series of choices. You know, you make one, if you don't like it, if it doesn't work out, just make another one. You know, that tends to make them feel more in control and more powerful in their own lives.
Oh, so much so, because you're so right. If it doesn't work out for you the first time, make another choice.
I find so much of the time that people have it's not that they have too big of ideas about what they can do in the world and what they could be and who they are in the world, but they have too small. A lot of people don't allow themselves to think big enough. That's what I find. I think part of my role is to help people take a bigger view a lot of times of what they can be in the world, who they are in the world, and what they can achieve. I think a lot of times we hold ourselves back, and I think, you know, we're so much more. You know, it's like that, you know, that old Marianne Williamson quote about we're not afraid that we're going to be too dim. We're afraid our light will shine so bright. I don't know exactly the quote. Are you familiar with that one? And it's. I think it's true. I think we're kind of afraid that if we allowed ourselves to be fully who we are and to fully express all our values in the world in a really open and loving way, that it would just be too much. People wouldn't be able to take it, you know.
Well, it's that fear of, you know, not succeeding to what your expectations are, or, you know, of people maybe expecting more of you, you know, once you do start to shine, but you're not sure you can meet up with them, you know. You know, again, I'm sorry to bring my kids into this, but, you know, as they were growing up, I always told them to be anything you want to be. You just need to be focused and work towards it. Anything. And if you don't, I think some people don't realize that they can be anything they want. You know, I think they live by others, what is expected of them, but not what you expect of yourself.
There's definitely power in changing your attitude, right? Changing your attitude, changing your expectations, changing your definitions of success, even. You know, there's a lot of powerful stuff
I think we've done all of that. I think we've talked about some really good stuff. You know, the goal was to help people understand what it really means. You know, when we talk about values, what are they? And as we said at the beginning of the call, quite often things that we term as values, people may not realize that's what they are. And so the identification of those through some really powerful questions, and that's something anyone out there who's listening can do for themselves even, you know, really think about whether it's a question that David asked about the end of your life, you know, what would have made it a successful life to you? You know, what did you get out of it? And whether it's how would you spend that one day if you could do anything that you wanted? You know, sifting through those answers will help people get towards what's really important to them in their lives, and hence what their values are. And then actually being able to implement those, maybe that sometimes means letting go of certain things that don't serve you in your life, to make room for things that do, or maybe just even, you know, adding a little bit through baby steps, some additional things that you can really do to beef up those things that perhaps you've been missing. And I think that also then helps to lead to sustainability, right? What do you lose by not having this in your life, by not serving this value that's really important to you, can often help us if we fall off the wagon, or, you know, can prevent us from feeling bad about it. Because as both Kathleen and David said, and we've been talking about here, you know, we're all human. This is part of the human experience. Life is a series of choices. And if you make one that doesn't work out, you have the power to make another. So we have a few minutes left. Closing thoughts, comments from you guys?
Well, I just wanted to pick up on something you just said about success. And when I do the exercise, and I just to be clear, I never use the word success because I think it's a loaded word and everybody has a different definition of what success means to them. That's another question I always ask people is how do you define success for yourself? And I talk about how can you redefine success in a different way, because people usually tie success to achievement. Like, I'm successful if I, you know, get X, Y, or Z. You know, if the circumstances of my life are such and such, where I live in this kind of a place and I have this kind of relationship and I have this kind of job and I'm appreciated and that sort of thing. And I proffer an alternative definition, my own definition of success, and try it on for people, and it just fits so into what we've been talking about. And that definition is, I am successful if I am fully expressive of my deepest values every day. When you shift your definition of success to that, it changes everything, because all of a sudden you're not tied to all those goals that you thought were so important. You're tied only to, am I dealing with the things that are deeply important to me every day of my life? If you're doing that, you've won the game. As far as I'm concerned, you're constantly being satisfied and fulfilled because you're expressing your deepest self all the time. And that is just, to me, like, that's flow. You don't even have to think about it. You're just living the life.
Yeah. Great point. Very powerful statement. Kathleen, closing comments, statements?
I just, you know, for my clients, you know, I try to be as authentic with them as I am here tonight. You know, and it's so important to be true to you, true to your true self, you know, and to recognize what that is. And it takes some deep looking into deep thought. It does, because a lot of us don't ask that question of ourselves. You know, who am I, and what do I really want from my life? Yeah. So it's important.
Yeah, and that was, you're spot on. I mean, another very powerful statement. You know, quite often we don't take time to ask ourselves the seemingly very simple questions. You know, what do I want? It's a very simple question, but how often do we spend time thinking about the answer to that? Well, hopefully you've enjoyed listening to our show today. It was called Value Add, Living Your Values, and you can download the podcast at blogtalkradio.com. We talked about what that really means in terms of defining your values and identifying them, how to live according to them, and lead to some sustainable change in your life. So hopefully you've enjoyed this discussion with us today. I certainly have enjoyed very much talking with both of you, David Diamond, Kathleen West. It's been a joy, and hopefully we will get to do this again very soon.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.